Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday in our study of Colossians chapter 2, we were talking about asking God for our needs in Jesus' name. Let's continue with that study today.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
God the Father delights to answer your prayers. He doesn't need Mary or angels that lack omnipresence as well as omnipotence. They can't listen to more than one prayer at a time themselves anyhow, if they're able to listen to prayers. Only God can do that, and only God the Son can be an intermediary in your prayer life. So my friend, don't get caught up in this error that goes on today. People who encourage you to pray to angels, to saints, or to Mary, or anything else instead of the Father, through the name of Jesus, they are in foul territory, according to the true umpire of our life, the Lord Jesus. And he adds there in verse 18 of Colossians 2, intruding into those things which he hath not seen. Now the Gnostics would take you through a period of mystic preparation. This puffed up their mind. They had arrived when they went through this little period of time, and they'd been prepared. And so they felt like they had really arrived. After a period of time and learning, one was now ready to enter into the secret or the mysteries that were seen in verse 18. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding those things which he hath not seen. And that is defined as mental perception. Commitment to things unperceivable, things that are not understandable. This intruding was the final step into the inner shrine. You're initiated, and now you're a full-fledged member. You are now a super saint. You are above average. Well, today we see the same thing happening. People will go to a seminar. They'll pay $50 to buy a t-shirt, and they are now in the know spiritually. You're going to be a better husband. You're going to have a better marriage. And you're going to have better wisdom because you went to a seminar. And you took notes. And you paid the $50 or whatever they charge. Why not are you a better citizen? Why not are you a better witness for the Lord Jesus Christ? Why not are you a harder worker? You see, the Gnostics were touted for making people better in these things too. And here we find that they're condemned. You see, people begin to lean on these systems and they become enslaved by them. Why is it that I'm finding as a pastor that these people are more the people that are depressed that I have to counsel, and they're not faithful? They're from one church to the next. You see, they've been enslaved. Their minds are puffed up. And what they need to do is humble themselves at the feet of God, and he will exalt them in due time. And due time may be in heaven, where it counts the most. Now, my friend, we are to edify the brethren, not to be their lords. We're to edify them. The Bible is filled with these encouragements and these exhortations, where it says, feed the flock, reprove, rebuke, exhort, teach, instruct in doctrine and righteousness. And especially we're to do these things via the local church. But where are we told to have one man to hold other men spiritually accountable? Let me illustrate that. Let us say that you pour out your heart to me of a weakness. Maybe you have a weakness with pornography. Later, you're opposed to something. Maybe I am teaching false doctrine. But you're afraid to oppose that. You're in my church, and you're afraid to oppose that for fear I will tell others your problems when push comes to shove. You see, when sides of right and wrong exist, then are we willing to have ourselves revealed by someone on another side of an issue? We've poured our heart out to them, and right now they're on a side that is doctrinally wrong. Now, it's reported that during the Inquisition, that many confessions in the confessional booths were used to hold people in fear and to do their bidding. Now, my friend, let me ask you a simple question. Whom will you appear before as judge? Well, if you're saved, Romans 14:12 says, "So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." Not to the spiritual overseer of your life, who may be some man that lives next door in your church. No, it's to God. 2 Corinthians 5:10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Now, we look at today's text, and the command is there that we're not to let men beguile you, to be the umpires of our souls. Now, I'm afraid that the judgment seat of Christ will see multitudes of saved people give an account while they allowed someone other than the Holy Spirit to umpire their souls and make them spiritually accountable. Now, understand, the Holy Spirit convicts. He convicts of sin and failure. And he also puts a conviction in my heart of what is right and what I ought to do. So if you're saved, you're going to appear before God at the judgment seat of Christ. If you're not saved, you're still going to appear before God at what is called the white throne judgment. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15, we read this, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works." Now, he used the word books plural, because the book of life is where saved people are written, and the books are where the works are written. And that determines the degree of reward for the saved or the degree of punishment for the unsaved. Now, since the white throne is where the unsaved appear, then so all of these are unsaved, and all this is the works of the unsaved. And he says in verse 13, "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Now, those cast into the lake of fire are not lost because their works weren't good enough. They're lost because they never received Christ. Therefore, their names are not in the book of life. Now, understand, everyone that's at the judgment seat of Christ will be saved. Their judgment will not determine heaven or hell. They're going to heaven. It'll judge their reward in heaven. Some will be ashamed, the Bible tells us. They'll have no rewards. They'll have nothing to lay at Jesus' feet. Some will have confidence. But on the other hand, the white throne judgment, nobody there is going to heaven. They're all going to hell. They're all going to the lake of fire. And the judgment there determines their degree of punishment. But understand, no matter who you are, the umpire of the soul is the Lord Jesus. It's not men. Now, if a judge in a court gives a gag order, perhaps he says, okay, nobody says anything, there's a gag order, no statements can be given. But a lawyer, or maybe a well-to-do man, tells you, look, never mind. You just go ahead out there and say what you want to do. Say, it's all right. Well, who's going to be in trouble? You are. You see, the judge that gives the command has the power to punish. Whose directions and commands are you to obey in life? God's or man's? Who has the power to deny rewards and to cast into hell? Well, God does. Matthew 10:28 says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Now, my friend, think about that. The Bible tells you one thing, and then some man makes himself your spiritual umpire, and you're accountable to him, and he gives you things that's contrary to the Word of God. Do you think at the judgment seat you're going to say, "Well, look, brother so-and-so told me not to do that"? The Bible says thus, and the Lord will say, "But thus saith the Lord. This is what I commanded. This is the Word of God." And especially in a country as the United States, where the gospel and the Word of God is freely there at our hands, and that we can read it about any time we want to. Think of the commands that are in the Bible for the Christian. Hebrews 10:25 says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the matter of some is, but so much the more as you see the day approaching." And isn't it interesting? People think that I don't have to be at church every time the doors are open to be a good Christian. Well, you know, I not really found that statement in the Bible that says you don't need to be in church or you don't need to be faithful to church. I find quite the opposite. As a matter of fact, if you believe that the Lord is returning soon, he's telling you to be even more faithful. And so you say, "You mean going to church every time doors are open makes me a good Christian?" No, but I'll tell you this. If you're not faithful to the local church, you can't be a good Christian. Now, I understand that there are exceptions. For example, a person that's a shut-in. There's exceptions. For example, a person that has no local church in their area, whatever. You know, but when there is a church there and it's of God, then you be there. 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto men." No, he says that approved unto God. "A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We're to study the Bible to be workmen, to know how to not only rightly divide the word, but to put it into action in our daily life, to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just to gather knowledge, but it's to also use that knowledge for Christ's sake. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, "Pray without ceasing." Romans 1:16-17, he tells us, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, that is written, the just shall live by faith." Now, if the just shall live by faith, then we should not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. None of us, if we name the name of Christ. In Luke 14:23, we read, "And the Lord said unto the servant, go out to the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." Now, Christian, we have responsibility to witness and to invite others to come to God's house, that they might hear the word of God and be saved. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
It's true. We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening, and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all, who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.